Welcome to the Good Ship Illustration Podcast.
We're here to offer no-nonsense advice for illustrators and image makers navigating a creative career.
Of course, find your creative voice, fly your freak flag, it's opening its doors again at the end of October, early November. So this podcast is for answering your questions, we'll be interviewing other artists and just giving advice.
I like how Tanya calls us the three bears of the illustration industry. So we're each from a different era and area of illustration, and we have over 60 years experience between us.
The Good Ship Illustration came about because the three of us used to meet for coffee and grill each other on different areas of our careers and pay and experience and how you go about finding jobs. And we thought that would be really good to share with other people.
So today's theme is, what's stopping you doing the work to find your own unique voice?
So one of the main things that comes up in our course, a really common thing that people struggle with, is imposter syndrome.
So this is really common within the crew on the course. I've felt like that at some points, I know. And you still have to keep addressing it and going back to it because it does rear its ugly head every now and then. But just know that you have permission to do it. You don't have to seek permission from someone else. This is your choice.
Yeah, and I think understanding that everyone feels imposter syndrome at some time, like no matter how successful they seem to you or how far or early on in their career they are, they do feel imposter syndrome. It's totally normal. It can help.
You should be really careful about how you portray yourself to other people. So if you've got imposter syndrome and on your Instagram account you write would-be illustrator, then people see you as a would-be illustrator rather than illustrator. So be brave and call yourself an illustrator.
Yes, we were daring people in the course, we dared them to get rid of the word aspiring or wannabe or like up-and-coming illustrator. Not that anybody calls himself an up-and-coming illustrator. But you get the general words to delete.
Yeah, I remember in the early days of being an illustrator when a lot of my college or school friends had gone off and bought houses and got married, and I was still living in a studio flat, so desperate to be an illustrator. I was just doing everything to make that possible. And I would go to a family wedding or something and I would talk to distant relatives and they'd say, what are you doing? And I felt apologetic, as if I should say why I hadn't done all of these things. I hadn't ticked off all these life achievements. And I'd say, well, you know, I'm trying to be an illustrator. And then I would feel hurt when they reflected it back at me. And so you have to be, it's good to make a kind of rule that you're not going to feed bad vibes to other people because they'll just reflect them back.
Yeah. I think it's important to, it can sound cheesy and like, I don't know, but when, like, if you say nice things to yourself, that kind of reflects in the outside world. Yeah, I remember at uni, a lecturer, they used to say that it was like California life coach talk. I was like, but that's really good. Like, we need to have California life coach talk in our head or we'll not get anything done.
Yeah, why would we want to, and that's why we'd want to live like a Californian life coach, because they have great lives, because what they said worked and now they live in the sunshine.
Exactly.
Only doing 3 hours a day. So I think there's something to be learned from it.
Yes. Do you know what? I went for psychotherapy when I was really struggling with this feeling that distant members and unimportant people in my life were judging me, and she would pick apart those conversations and she'd say, well, what did you say at the beginning of the conversation? And I'd recall what I'd said and she'd say, well, there you are, you started it. And it was really important to recognise it, and it was an incredibly simple change to make that made a huge difference.
Yeah.
I think the thing we said earlier as well about when you say to someone who is unfamiliar with your industry, I'm an illustrator or I'm a writer or I'm a musician, their brain races to come up with something relevant. Mm. So they're always going to say, oh, so have you had a book published? Or where can I see your work? Mm. And because you may not have an answer in the early part of your career, you feel like the imposter or the fraud, and they are just trying to speak to you. They're not saying you don't have the right to call yourself that because you haven't got a published book. They're just trying to make conversation, and you took it seriously like a lack of permission.
Yeah, yeah.
Or that they're calling you a fraud. They're not.
So, grasping for conversation threads.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
They're not going to say, how is your portfolio? Are you drawing every day? Like,
I'm going to take that illustrator badge off you because you're not published.
Yeah.
But you have to remember as well that writers, painters, authors all feel like this because you're doing the work and you're not being paid at that time because you're creating work to present to someone. That doesn't invalidate you. in terms of your career. Everyone has to start somewhere. The money, the revenue may come later, but the work is your choice. And you are that person by merely doing it. You don't need extra permission.
Exactly. I remember somebody saying to me once that you should never say to your child, wow, that piece of artwork is so good, you could be an artist one day. Because guess what? They are an artist.
Yeah. Immediately.
They are.
Right now.
Yeah. The other barrier people put up to stop him finding their own creative voice is that they're too scared to start because they're worried they won't like what they make.
Mm. Yeah, but definitely get this one when we're... Every time I launch the course, it's called Fly Your Freak Flag. And people say, what if people like don't like my freak flag? What if I make this new body of work and then I don't get any more commissions? I don't make any money. So it's a totally understandable barrier. It's very real.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, though, I think if you're not enjoying the work you're making now, you have absolutely nothing to lose by finding your own voice. It's so incredibly valuable.
It's also your voice, if you don't like it as it is now, if it's artificial or false and you want to find the kind of the real you, it will show in the work you're doing now. If you've really lost faith in it, it's kind of dead in the water. So you've got nothing to lose by abandoning and moving sideways to find your real voice. I mean, we did discuss the economic aspects of this. Some people say, as you mentioned, Katie, if you've got a lot of work, you feel you haven't got the freedom to take time off to create a new body of work. So what would you suggest for that?
Yeah, so well, it's definitely a privilege to press pause on your career and take time out.
You could put a small time aside every day. If you wanted to carry on taking your commissions, you could always put an hour aside every morning.
Yeah, so it doesn't have to be this giant, scary, take a year off, abandon everything thing. You can just carve out daily time. Or if you're not getting any work and you just want to kind of start afresh, then it could be that your part-time job supports you while you investigate new avenues of work and different ways of working.
Some people are literally scared to start a drawing, though. I've come across that quite often. People have had a break in their career or something, and that gap makes them too scared to even put the pen on the page. You know, that thing with a blank sheet of paper, and you're so worried about making a mark in case it's wrong. That's a really common issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's, yeah, the expectations are too high at that stage. The first drawing you make is going to define whether this is going to go well or go badly. But you really have to make loads of work to begin with, to get through the ugly stuff, to start to find your actual voice and be prepared to make that ugly work.
Yes.
I like what you said about inviting the ugly in, Tanya. That's brilliant. Invite the ugly in.
Invite it in. But it also take the emotional thing out of it. And if you can put your data head on, like say, for instance, there's a 3% success rate. If you make 100 drawings, 3 of them will be good. I'm using air quotes because there's no such thing as good and bad, but in a hypothetical world where there's good and bad art, it's just a case of making more. Like, have you made enough drawings to have good ones come out yet?
Yeah, remember, you've got millions and millions of drawings inside you, and you can afford for half of them, more than half of them, you can afford for nearly all of them to be bad. And the other thing is, go and do our sketchbook as friend.
Yes, so we created this audio guide especially for this sort of situation where you want to draw but you just not doing it for whatever reason, and it's like the audio equivalent of us holding your hand and sitting down with you to draw for 15 minutes, and that's all it takes, and it sort of kicks you off.
And if you did that every day, 15 minutes a day, you know, the just showing up concept that we've talked about, and give yourself 20 minutes a day of drawing, timed drawing as well. This is what we do with the sketchbook as friend, is keep the drawings quite short so you don't overwork them and you don't overinvest into 15 minutes of one drawing and think it's a failure. Try a few drawings, quick ones, longer ones. And the mere act of showing up will guarantee that you get your 3% out of every 15 minutes you draw. And over a week or two, you're going to have a series of good drawings and a full waste paper bin. And that's perfectly normal.
You should see the pile of paper that goes in our recycle bin when I finish making a picture book. You wouldn't believe it.
Also, I think it's important to, like, if you hate your work, that's fine. Like, you know, people get really angry and upset. They're like, I don't like my drawing. And I'm like, why are you so worried about that? It's fine. Just make some more drawings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think it's also a bit like going on holiday and working all year and having a really rough time. And it comes to the holiday with your family and you just think, we're going to have a fabulous time, 2 weeks of loveliness, and it's all going to be great. That's the same as thinking, right, I'm going to give myself time to draw. It won't all be good. And as long as your expectations are realistic, it's going to be a useful process. But I think if you're over expecting, that's when the disappointment comes. And then you beat yourself up with that disappointment and say, it's not working for me, it's no good. You haven't given yourself a chance. And hopefully the sketchbooker's friend is where, with kind of consistent use, you're giving yourself that chance you need to make good work.
Yeah. So it's not the sexy answer, but it's just show up, be consistent, keep drawing.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, don't set your expectations at making genius artwork. Set it at making 15 minutes of work every day.
So does the task seem too big to handle, this task of working on your creative voice?
I think that it can be really overwhelming, particularly if you've had some time out. Maybe it seems as if getting a folio together, starting work again, is just far too big. And where do you start?
Well, this is where we need Katie's mum. What did she used to say?
When I was growing up, I would frequently get overwhelmed with tasks, schoolwork, whatever, and my mum would say, "How do you eat an elephant?" And I'd be like, "Oh, how do you eat an elephant?" And she'd be like, "One teaspoon at a time." Brilliant.
It really is. It seems such a cliche, but you've got to use the right language and chop something up into small tasks. If you say, "I'm going to do a huge portfolio of work and go and see some clients and get a career sorted," and you think that's a 2-month activity, you're kind of setting yourself up to fail for sure. Mm-hmm. But if you say, "I'm just going to start drawing and see what comes out and keep the good ones and throw away the bad ones," that's already a good place to start.
Yeah. I think that's why I like daily projects so much as well, because you can do one thing a day. It's a big undertaking, but you can be lucky. It's just going to be one thing per day. And then after 100 days, you've got 100 things. But if you sat down and you were like, "I'm going to do 100 drawings," I don't think you'd do it in the same way.
Yeah, it's that drip, drip, drip. Do something consistently, even if it's just 10, 15 minutes of it every day. It builds up into something much bigger. The other thing I like to do is give myself a treat when I've finished a small goal. So I set my goals really small. So, you know, I'll do an hour of the work that I'm not that keen on tackling today. I'll do that this morning. At the end of that hour, hot chocolate.
Helen's classic treat.
But yeah, definitely treat yourself like you would treat a reluctant child. If you've got to trick them into doing something, only reveal 10% of the task and give them that one day. Keep the other stuff secret and just bit by bit.
Yeah.
The other thing I do is try to catch myself out. So I will decide to work on the bed for an hour.
Yes.
Because I feel as if I'm not working. And that feels, it just feels like there's not so much pressure. It's an easy place to work.
Or that old trick of, "I'll just do 5 minutes." And then by the time you've got everything out, you're sitting at your desk, you do 5 minutes, you're like, "Oh, I'm actually quite enjoying it now. I'm just going to carry on."
Didn't you have a system, Katie, the 20-minute timer? I think
it was the Pomodoro technique. That's when you set a timer for 25 minutes, then you work for 25 minutes and have a 5-minute break. Work for 25 minutes, have a 5-minute break. And yeah, that's definitely like treating yourself all the time.
But that first 25 minutes, if you've said to yourself, "Look, you're only going to have to do 25 minutes this morning, just begin that project, and then you have to stop. You can't carry it on." Yeah. By 22 minutes, you're like, "I'm having a ball. This is going really well. What do you mean I can't do any more today? I'm in the zone."
Like reverse psychology, isn't
it? Yeah, more tricking of yourself.
So the other thing that stops people finding their freak flag or finding their creative voice is that they worry that if they change tack, nobody will like their new freak flag.
Yes.
So we've all had experience of this, haven't we? We've all, in our own ways, stopped what we were doing and had a period where we've had a rethink.
Yeah.
And that worked all right?
Yes. I think for all of us, it's worked out all right. So for me, it was sort of almost giving up on illustration and being like, "You know what, this is rubbish, I'm going to do something else." And then when I came back around to it, because I'd had that time to think about what I wanted to do and what I enjoyed and what style of work and worked best, the work that I made after that break was way better than it would have been had I just ploughed through and been like, "Keep going."
Yeah, I found the same thing. I was lucky because I'd had some nice royalty checks to keep me going, and I lived very frugally for a year. But I went back to my sketchbooks and tried to work out a bridge between what I'd done at college and the work I really enjoyed at college and my illustration work, because I felt I'd gone off track a bit, and it was really valuable time. And I worried that entire time that when I came back with this new work that nobody would like it. But I think people can see your enthusiasm and they value your passion and they can see it has authenticity.
Yeah. I think when you're excited about your work, yeah, other people can get excited about it way more easily.
I think it also drains you as well. If you don't like the work you're doing, the quality of the work starts to degrade and you know you can't keep repeating it. And probably for all of us, we've been at that stage where you've thought, I'll either stop doing this, I'd rather have to do something I'm not invested in, like a regular job, than to repeat the fakery of faking work or a voice of mine that I'm not happy with. For me, I was able to leave the UK. Well, I made the choice to leave the UK and work abroad. And being somewhere else with other people was the perfect situation to kind of reveal who you really are.
Yeah.
And say, I'm changing track. But no, there's no one there to notice or witness you change track because you're in a different place. And it felt a lot easier living overseas to do what I thought I really wanted to do because I got tired of the work that I'd graduated with. I'd also found it wasn't really technically a wise idea to do monoprints on a mangle as a form of illustration and send tacky oil-painted bits of paper to magazines, which they would have to put on a drum roll. I hadn't really figured this out.
Possibly go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. They'll all stick to each other when you unroll the piece of paper and tear. Yeah, I'd come from quite a fine arty background where finding technical or unusual print methods to create a style of work, like material-dependent methods, was supposedly your voice. But actually it's not. It doesn't have to be clever materials or techniques. It's how you draw. It's what you draw and how you visualise that. So I did all that unlearning and fresh start overseas, and that was great.
And I don't think you necessarily need to take out, you don't need to put aside a whole year to do this, do you? You could put aside an hour or so every day and explore your new work.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of people during the course have got kids, they've got full-time jobs, they've got a full life going on, and they're just getting up early to do it, or they're doing it after children have gone to bed. So I think it can work. You can make it work if you want it to work.
Exactly, yeah.
It's different circumstances, isn't it? And different economic backgrounds. I think if you know yourself well enough that you are A, able to, and B, respond to a solid chunk of time, like 3 weeks away, maybe that's not long enough, longer than that, or you do the kind of slices of time that you feed into your life just the way you would do with the 10, 15 minutes yoga a day. So there's different methods, whichever suits you, but you have the right to reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
It's not inauthentic to do that, is it?
You're allowed.
I think it's really exciting to explore new materials all the time. So, you know, I took that year out to find my own voice, but recently I decided to do a book digitally and it was a whole new adventure and it was brilliant. And it's not because my voice completely changed. I just decided to explore some new materials to keep everything fresh. So, yeah, it's great.
You got to begin again. Beginner again, didn't you?
I love that.
Mm. It's a really underestimated situation when people say, well, I don't know whether I'll know how to learn how to use those things, whether it's digital or traditional materials, but that's such a good place to be. It's like splashing around in the water. You don't quite know what you're doing, but it can make for really interesting results.
There's huge power in naivety. Because if you don't know all the rules, you can't make any mistakes. And that's where your own individual voice comes from.
I'm always amazed when people say, like, oh, I could never do that. As if you're born magically knowing how to do things. When you've got to, like, figure it out and make mistakes, maybe watch a couple of YouTube tutorials. Like, it's totally, I don't know, there's this weird thing where people, I suppose it's a bit like when you're an artist or a creative, people are like, oh, you're so talented. That's amazing. What a gift you've been given.
Yeah, you're
like, mate, I like, draw every day and I practice loads and I learn all the things. It's not like somebody just bashed me over the head with a magic book when I was a baby or something.
That's brilliant. And you came out drawing lovely fairies.
Yeah, four weeks old. Observational drawing.
That's always when people, you know, underpay because they think it's a natural gift that you haven't struggled as hard as a geologist or an accountant or an upholsterer to master your trade. We've all done the same thing. So, yeah, it's hard work that gets you there.
Yes.
So.
We never know how to say goodbye.
Oh, yeah.
On anything.
Oh, no.
Videos, podcasts, anything.
So this is us saying goodbye then.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.